Three, two, one. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. So join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code Sullivan20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in the Shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxers as free gifts to give to you to keep all your goodies stored nice and comfortably to go along with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside that Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2023 looks to be. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Sullivan20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that promo code Sullivan20. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code Taskmaster to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard-working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code Taskmaster to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code Taskmaster to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code Taskmaster and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that promo code Taskmaster. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with MyBookie. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved.
Lex Luger would deliver the first shot in the Monday Night War.
I told Lex, don't go to the hotel where everybody else is staying. And don't show up until half an hour before you're supposed to go on the air.
And this crowd is live. They are wired.
They wait till like 30 minutes before the show started and brought me in with like towels around my head to a back door. They didn't put me in position to go out on television until the moment I walked out.
Later on in this live debut broadcast. Oh, what in the hell is he doing here? Get the camera off of here. Why, look. Get him out of here. Get the camera off of here.
What is this?
Oh, wait a minute. He's got a right to be where this is a public mall.
Get him out of here.
Somebody call the security guard.
You kidding me? Luger's there now, too?
And everybody was looking at me like, is that Lex Luger? Because I was still on TV and had done a house show the night before with WWE, so everybody was definitely, it was a big shock to everybody.
Welcome to Task Master Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I am your host, JP John Paz. With me, of course, the star of the show, former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Everything's great, JP. How are you, my friend?
Very good, very good. All right, so let's talk about the topic at hand. WCW style, WCW Monday Nitro, the first ever Monday Nitro, September 4th, 1995 edition of Nitro was held at the Mall of America in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Of course, first episode of Nitro. This was kind of an attempt to overtake, which we'll get into, maybe the WWF product, which was led by Vince McMahon when was Monday Night Raw at the time. The initial version of Nitro, of course, was live, 1 hour show. Bobby the Brain Heenan, Eric Bischoff, and Steve Mongo McMichael are doing the commentary. And, of course, the first rating
was unopposed, so they win the first week, a 2.5 rating. Raw, of course, had the Westminster Dog Show going on. So let's just first find out, why Nitro? How did it happen? And was it all Bischoff, Ted Turner? Or what was the deal behind setting up Monday Nitro?
It was Hogan's idea. He went to Eric, who then they went to Ted and said, if we're going to compete, we got to go head to head.
Wow. What made Hogan like want to do that or say that? I mean, kind of bold.
I think that he knew, he saw that he could defeat Vince. You know, he left because they weren't getting along, but he also saw some indications that Vince, you know, was going through a slump.
Big slump. Yeah, they were not rocking and rolling in those years. Those new generation years were not rocking and rolling.
No.
And it seemed like with Hogan and Vince, a little bit of personal issue there, like a little bit of professional rivalry?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like anything else. It's the teacher and the pupil. It's the classic, you know. Everything could be almost becomes biblical sometimes. Yeah, it's the teacher and the pupil, the two brothers at war. It's whatever you want it to be, it is. And Hogan thought he could beat Vince.
When you look at it, would Vince have been Vince without Hogan to begin with?
Well, it's just like this. Would Hogan been Hogan without Vince? They're interchangeable parts, you know what I mean? It just was so... it was like lightning was caught in a bottle. Think about this. They had three shows a night, every day of the week, selling out, and sometimes four. Think about that. And the people were rabid. I mean, when, you know, the early years, I mean, Hogan crossed over with T on Saturday Night Live when Saturday Night Live was Saturday Night Live. You know what I mean?
Yep.
There was only three channels back then. Think about that. I mean, it was so hot. I mean, now there's hardly any house shows, right?
Lot less. Yep.
Well, they're running more in one night than they do all week. If they were running four nights and nights, right?
Yeah, crazy. Think that, yeah.
They only run Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right?
Pretty much nowadays, yep.
Think about that.
It's insane, like, to think how popular it used to be and how many eyeballs used to be on, how many people used to go to those shows. It's nuts.
JP, Monday night at the Garden, there'd be 22,000 people. Down in Providence, Rhode Island, there'd be 15,000 people. Down over in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, there'd be 6,000 people. And in Bangor, Maine, there'd be 11,000 people on a Monday night. Think about that. Crazy.
And I was talking to Greg Gonin not that long ago. He says that Vince wouldn't have been Vince without Hogan. But it's interesting, a lot of people do say, well, would Hogan have been Hogan without Vince? But those two kind of go hand in hand when you're talking about, you know, the ascension of the WWF and the Hogan era and the golden era of wrestling for them.
Yeah, I mean, they both helped each other tremendously. And I got to give Hogan credit. He worked as hard as Vince did. We just talked about how Vince worked hard. Hogan worked hard too, getting TV shows, being on TV, meeting managers of television stations, going to malls to publicize his stuff. I mean, he worked hard too. So I don't agree with Greg Gagne on that one. I don't think there would have been Vince McMahon without Hogan.
So as far as the Nitro is concerned, it's going to be on TNT. Was that a strategic thing? Did Brad Siegel want it on there? Did Ted Turner? Why TNT, not TBS?
That's a good question. That would be the call from the company itself. Maybe Ted wanted to... He had a little bit more. He was hands-on then, so maybe he wanted to give TNT a little bit of a boost. That's my summation of that.
Because Nitro was a part of their branding, if you will. It was like they were called like Saturday Nitro, which would be like, you know, maybe a football game or whatever. I mean, not necessarily that, but they did have football, obviously, too, on TNT.
Right.
But that was like a part of Brad Siegel's I guess brand recognition or like stuff he would call things like Nitro. And so that the name comes from Siegel, but I was always curious if like, if Ted wanted it on TNT or if Bischoff or, but I guess it's more of a corporate call, right?
Yeah. It's more of a corporate call.
So Ted Bischoff always says like he meets with Ted, hey, what do you need to do? And he's like, oh, well, we should go head to head. It's Bischoff. Like you said, Bischoff and Hogan were kind of talking and Ted's like, well, I want to beat Vince. And you know, I'm in the wrestling business. The old infamous, I'm in the wrestling business. And Vince is like, well, that's nice, pal. I'm in the sports entertainment business. So right. Like that obviously bothered Ted and he wanted to go head to head and he wanted to compete with Vince. So he says, you know, I want to go one-on-one with him. Is there any sort of Ted integration with the show? Like, is he involved with you or Bischoff, or is just no. Like, here's Nitro and that's it?
Here's Nitro, that's it.
So, I mean, he wants to be Vince, but he's not like hell-bent on like, I gotta be involved?
No.
Is he just that kind of guy, or is it just he knew that's out of his realm? He's not, a wrestling guy. Wrestling.
Let me put it this way, JP. You probably don't remember this. Do you remember when Ted managed the Braves?
Owned the Braves or managed them?
Managed them.
No, I don't remember that.
He managed for one day. He knew he was out of his element.
Okay.
He was smart enough not to try anything like that again.
Interesting. Because... If you go by Vince McMahon, oh, Ted was hell bent. It was all Ted's obsessed with me. Ted wanted to beat me, pal. You know, like that kind of stuff. You hear from Vince, so that none of that's really true. Just Ted was like, all right, here you go.
Yeah, I think he wanted to beat him, but he didn't want to spend the time. You know what I mean? He had other ventures he was doing. Vince was wrestling. Ted was all around the world. You know, he had just given $1 billion to the UN. Do you remember that?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know, he was buying property in Montana, right?
Yep. Not
the largest buffalo herd in North America. He was doing other things, too. He's married to Jane Fonda. They were doing things in Africa. So, you know, I always thought he was going to run for president.
Really? Why did you think that?
Because he was very outspoken. And I think he would have ran for president if he didn't marry Jane Fonda. He was a big donor in the Democratic campaign. He was super liberal for a Southerner, especially for a Southerner. And he didn't hide from his mistakes.
Did you ever have like one-on-one conversation with him or not really?
Yeah, I had one time when he was dating Lamar Hunt's daughter, you know, the guy that owns the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
And they had just, you know what they did, right? They cornered the silver market and drove up prices.
Mm.
I think they did. If they didn't do time, they ended up having to pay a lot of money. But he had a penthouse on the roof of the CNN Center. And I got in one day to come. I was there early. I was going down to get a coffee. You know what I mean? It was early, about 7:30, 8 o'clock. And so as they got on, there was a elevator coming from the penthouse. He's on there, and he said he was wrestling with her in the elevator. And he said, he knew I was scavenging. He said, when are we going to have a pay-per-view? I said, we did 2 weeks ago. Said, how we do? I said, I think you made $1 million. Oh, good. Let me know next time again. So he wanted to win, but he had other things to pay attention to.
Oh, yeah. That's great, though. He knows who you are, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Is there any sort of relationship with Bischoff and Turner or not really?
Oh, I'm sure there was. I'm sure there was a very close relationship. I mean, you know, Eric and Hogan, you know, were sort of joined at the hip there. And, you know, I'm sure Ted was impressed that Eric got Hogan.
Definitely. And obviously Ted loves Hulk. He gave him a nice little contract, nice deal.
Yeah, big time contract, yeah.
So when you look at Nitro when it first starts, like, what does Eric say to you like about it? Like, hey, we got an hour TV slot on TNT on Mondays. We're going head-to-head with Raw. Like, what does he say?
Him and Hogan came to me, and they said, we're going to go head-to-head. Do you think we can do it? I said, absolutely, we can do it. You know, we're just going to sell motorcycles, and they sell Buicks. So it wasn't hard to understand that was the way to get to Vince.
Did you like that idea, though, of going head-to-head, or you rather like...
Absolutely, absolutely.
You do? Yeah. Why?
Because I knew we could beat them. I've been seeing their product, haven't you?
Yeah, it was awful at that point, yeah.
Yeah, I knew there was no way we could lose. We beat them the first quarter hour, and then from then on. You know, people always think, oh, it was the NWO. Yeah, it was the NWO that exploded us, but we were beating them constantly. Regularly.
Yeah, early on, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yep. When you look at it, though, did you think split the audience, or did you not? Did you think, no, that's not going to happen?
I thought that people would tune us in and tune them out.
If you look at it, though, Bischoff inexperienced, McMahon's all the experience in the world. They got the advantage. They've been around longer. Did you think, like, oh, man, we've gotten into something here, or you were that confident in WCW?
I was that confident. I mean, we're a much better product. Much better. I mean, much, much better. We were still a wrestling product.
So when Bischoff comes to you and Hogan, and like, what's the game plan as far as what you want to do with Nitro?
Expose the young guys and guys that were hungry, and then put Hogan and his band on top.
Did you think that's a good, like, long-term thing or short-term? Or, hey, well, let's go for the gusto and get some ratings right away. Go ahead. Like, what was the thought process?
You got to win right away, JP. You got to win right away. And what are you going to do? Put the young guys on top when you're paying Hogan that exorbitant amount of money?
And they're not going to get the eyeballs yet because they're young guys, yeah.
Yeah, they don't know who they are. Oh, they're great in Japan, and the dirt sheets love them. But the average person doesn't know who they are. They got to be exposed and given time for the people to see them work.
So what is the game plan as far as, like, you only have 1 hour of TV? Like, does that make it easier for a booker or harder? Because you only have an hour now.
To me, the perfect time would be 90 minutes. But you got to go in the parameters of what they give you.
Why do you think 90? Like, why is that such a perfect time?
It's just long enough to get everybody you need in, and you still leave them want more.
So maybe 2 hours, it might be a little bit too long, 1 hour too short.
Let me ask you something else. Let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe any television program you watch on network TV that's 2 hours long.
That's true. Maybe a special episode of Yellowstone, but that's not every week. Yeah.
It's too long.
Yeah, usually they're about an hour.
And if you've noticed how in the last, I think it's 8 years, I read the report, how movies have lost 14 minutes of time.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. The average movie has lost 14 minutes.
Is that attention span thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They should have told Avatar, because I heard Avatar is like 3 hours and 30 minutes, but they heard they could have cut out half of it. But they're, James Cameron's nuts.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and how many does he put out? One every 10 years?
Yep.
So he makes a to-do about it. But I mean, does anybody have 2 hours attention span anymore? The phone has killed us.
Yeah. Yep.
The phone has absolutely killed us. I mean, I was walking to get some food the other day. It was night, and I was in a kind of a secluded area. And two people come to me, and I said, I couldn't see them, but I could see their silhouette. They're walking in darkness, reading their phone. They're lucky they didn't trip. You know what I mean? I mean, that's how intense we are with the phone now. And yep. I think it does kind of, when you start to read a story, do you ever go all the way through the story on your phone or news?
Usually skim, yeah. skim. Yeah.
So that's where I'm getting in. 3 hours is the hardest of all.
That's just an eternity. For all every week, 3 hours is impossible to watch. I don't know how people do it. I always put on Monday Night Football when football season's on, but I mean, I don't know how they do it during, oh my God, during the year. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Monday Nitro is there. You obviously got together with Bischoff, get together with Hogan. What is the game plan as far as like the set? I mean, do you guys, obviously going live is going to be different because they always tape their Monday Night Raw. So you guys want to go live. As far as the set and everything, is that all Bischoff or do you have any say in that?
I don't think I had no say. Eric might have had some say in it, but I think that was all the production people.
Like Craig Leathers, Neil Pruitt, or like.
Is above them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always just remembered like the set was awesome and it was cool and but it was huge. So I mean, it's like wow. I mean, that's got to cost a pretty penny to now. Like WWE now, I mean, that thing is gigantic. Like it got to cost a pretty penny to travel with a huge set like that, like the huge WCW letters, the big entranceway. I mean, it's got to cost a pretty penny to create that set for the production crew.
Oh yeah, yeah. But it's your stamp, right? You want people to understand. I mean, from what I gather, WWE has 18 wheelers that take that stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So Raw is usually, I mean, sometimes they'll be live, but then they'll tape as well. They're in a smaller venue. It doesn't look as good. Nitro usually, especially here in Mall of America, looks like in this gigantic venue. It looks nice. It looks cool. Like when you're like, you know, creating Nitro and doing that, Bischoff always said like he literally had a pen and a pad and he would write it down what they did and what you guys are going to do. He wanted it to be so much different. And usually the difference was better. Like going live, your set was better. The production at that point was actually better than theirs. Theirs kind of looked passe and old. And theirs came off a little bit lame. Nitro came off like, wow, what the hell is this? This is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure did.
And even the opening entrance video was great with the fire and going through the streets and you know, like the dinosaur noises and everything. It was just an awesome entrance, like a intro video to the show. So yeah. I just thought that was a lot better, a lot different too.
It was.
So who selects Mall of America? Is Zane here at this point, Zane Breslov? Or is that, so it's Zane and Eric that pick Mall of America?
Yeah, yeah.
Why Mall of America?
Zane thought it would look good. Eric thought it would look good.
It's not a traditional wrestling venue, though.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why they did it.
Does that matter though? Does it is like does it need to be a traditional wrestling venue necessarily?
Well, obviously, it didn't. Obviously, it didn't.
Well, I mean, to you though, should it have been?
Yeah, to me, it should have been.
So you kind of, you know, obviously you're on board, so to speak, but you don't really like the idea of the Mall of America, per se.
I didn't like it, but I would have liked to have been in a building I knew, but it obviously worked. So was that I didn't know everything. That made me kind of look back and said, you know, every department needs to do what they do best and show me that Zane knew what he was doing.
Would you be able to tell how many people were there attendance-wise? Because you can't really get a good figure or an accurate number when you look at the attendance of the show because there's so many thousands upon thousands of people in the mall.
No, you can't. You can't. There's no way. Because everybody's moving. Do you know what I mean? Even if they stop, they're moving. It's a sea of people.
And our buddy Larry, who you know, used to live in Minnesota, was saying that that mall is huge. It's like tens of thousands of people can actually, not that we're at Nitro, but can actually fit in that mall. That's how big the mall is. It's like it's disgustingly big.
So big, they have an inside roller coaster. Think about that.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Got a mall by me, the American Dream Mall, which isn't as big as that mall, but it is huge. Like you get tired walking around that place. There's three floors. They have roller coasters and stuff in there too. They have a huge Ferris wheel.
I've run by it. Yeah, you've seen.
Yeah, that's huge. By a giant, right across the street from Giant Stadium.
Right.
Man, just think about it. It's like wow, Mall of America. Is it also like the branding? Like, hey, WCW is, you know, America. We're America's wrestling company. You know what I mean? Is that also part of it?
If it was, it went over my head.
I don't know, to me, like Mall of America, WCW Nitro. Just like, I don't know, the connotation of like, hey, we're branding here with the Mall of America. You know, to me, I don't know, I guess that's always Bischoff's thing. He likes branding with certain
things. Okay, so then we're in Little Rock, Arkansas, or Selma, Alabama. What are we branding?
The Southern folk. WCW loves the Southern folks.
Yeah. Okay.
So is it just supposed to look grand and grandiose? Like, hey, we're running all of America.
Yeah, that's it. It was. And going back there, they knew Hogan was over in Minneapolis, you know. He was over everywhere, but Minneapolis, he was especially over. He was over especially everywhere, but because of what, you know, happened in Minnesota.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, maybe wrong with the actual correlation, but didn't Pasta Mania, Hulk Hogan's, didn't open that same... Either that same month or that same week, or wasn't it very close to when his Pasta Mania store was going in there?
His Pasta Mania store had been in there for a while, I think 6 months.
Okay, so kind of a correlation. So there's he's got business there. You know what I mean? Like he's got a good connection there.
Yeah.
So Pasta Mania definitely had a little bit something to do with Nitro running there.
Very little, if anything. I mean, it was a very small place. It was just to go orders, you know what I mean?
What did you think of it? Do you think it was good food?
It was pasta. You know, plain pasta, you know.
With somebody famous's name on it. Yeah.
That's all.
Did you tell Hulk, like, come on, Hulk, Pasta Mania, I don't know about this.
No, I mean, I think he was bright that he wanted to get into other things. Just because I was a big fan of it, but I've been eating really good Italian food my whole life, you know?
Yep.
So there's a difference.
Is the George Foreman grill story true, that it could have been Hulk Hogan's grill?
I don't know about that. I'm not sure. I've heard that story too. I don't know.
So as far as the actual Nitro, we're at the Mall of America. It does a good rating. The Westminster Dog Show is going on. Was that purposely on that day because you guys knew it was going to be unopposed, the first Nitro?
Yeah.
That's your idea or Eric's idea?
Eric's.
When you look at it, Westminster Dog Show, it's kind of embarrassing to get your program bumped from a dog show.
To me, no.
Why not?
It's the most prestigious dog show in the world. Do you know how much money is spent on dogs in the United States a year?
No clue, but I would imagine it's probably a decent amount.
It's more than baby food.
Holy moly. Jesus. Wow.
Yeah.
I know my cat's food's pretty expensive, but man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow, nuts. I always just was like, wow, they're not on this week because the Westminster Dog Show.
And they had great ratings.
Really? I never looked into it or even thought it would. Wow.
Yeah.
Better than Raw?
At the time, probably as good, if not better.
Crazy. So let's start off the card. It's only a few matches, obviously, because we're only 1 hour, but there was a dark match. The American Males, Marcus Alexander Bagwell and Scotty Riggs defeated Bunkhouse Buck and Dick Slater with Colonel Rob Parker. Just to get those guys out there, dark match, get the crowd going. That's basically it.
Yeah, you knew you're going to have a good match. You're going to have a great match.
I know you love the American Males. Did you like that gimmick?
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't too 80s for you?
Well, you got to realize it's still, you know, wrestling is always behind. When I say that, look at how long Nazi villains were involved in the wrestling business. Look at how long Japanese heels were involved in the wrestling business. 25 years after the war. Think about that. Wrestling has always been behind.
Seems like it for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So they beat, like I mentioned, the American Males defeated Bunkhouse Buck, Dick Slater, of course, the Stud Stable with Colonel Rob Parker. The first match ever in the history of Nitro is a good one. It's a doozy. Flying Brian Pillman defeats Jushin Thunder Liger. Match goes around 6 minutes or so. I mean, short match as far as the time, but good for a TV match. A great match. These two guys are awesome. Why did you decide to put Pillman and Liger on as the first thing that the fans would ever see on Nitro?
Because I knew I wasn't stone deaf to the internet. It might not have been the internet, but it was dirt sheets. And I knew Liger was over huge. And I knew Brian was going to be a rising star. So I knew I wanted to win in the first quarter. So I tapped into that.
Man, what a doozy. Obviously, those 2 years before, 1992, had some great matches too. So it's almost like, hey, we can go back to this well with two guys that have awesome chemistry and have a great match. And just an awesome like wrestling trivia tidbit too. It's like the first match ever in Nitro, Pillman, Liger, and it was damn good.
Yep.
So then we have the next match up, which is a great one, too. And it's funny because it's the last ever match in the history of Nitro, and it's a part of the first ever Nitro. Sting versus Ric Flair for the United States Championship. The match goes to a no contest around the 9-minute mark, obviously, which is, would continue the feud between Sting and Ric Flair. And obviously, not that long after that, you know, Pillman, Arn Anderson are going to be involved, and then Flair's going to turn on Sting and Havoc. But that goes kind of in the long lineage of first Clash of the Champions, first Nitro, last Nitro, Sting versus Flair. Two great TV draws. Almost too easy, right? You got to book Sting versus Flair on a historic show.
Absolutely. Anytime you want a number, you just put those names down.
1988, first Clash. 1995, first Nitro. 2001, last Nitro, Sting, Flair, part of it all.
Yeah.
Interesting part, though, of that, Luger, Lex Luger, re-debuts for WCW and comes out and shocks the world. And, you know, Mongo Michael and obviously Bischoff and Heenan are shocked. Everybody's shocked. Was that a part of the plan? Like, okay, surprises. We got to have a surprise guy. The guy literally over the weekend was just in WWF. Now his contract was up and he shows up WCW. No one in WWF even knew his contract was up except maybe Bruce Pritchard, and he wasn't even aware, you know, of it to that magnitude. So the guy literally snuck out one door and opened the other. Was that a big part of the plan? A huge surprise for Lex Luger.
That was Eric's plan. Yep.
What did you think about it? I mean, that's just, to me, floored me. I'm like, holy shit, he was just in WWF.
Thought it was a good move.
did you trust Luger at this point? Because, you know, bad reputation. Is he still the same Luger?
I never had problems with Luger. I mean, I was there when he first started in Florida. So I got along with Lux.
Eric has always said he actually lowballed him on this offer, and that Sting pushed for Lex to sign, and obviously Sting pushed Bischoff to sign Lex, but he said he lowballed him on the offer, and Luger said yes, and he was a model citizen after that.
Yeah. He was. I never had any problems with Lex Luger.
So that was awesome, just as far as like, holy shit, anything could happen on Nitro. The guy literally was in WWF 2 days ago, and now he's on Nitro, he's on WWE TV. That was a big part of the appeal of why I like Nitro, too. It's like, holy shit, anybody could show up, anything could happen at any moment. This is this is great, and it's live, so this is great.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Is that a little bit of your booking philosophy, or is that mostly Bischoff, like the surprises and keeping everybody on the, you know, tips of their toes?
I couldn't bring guys in and sign them, so this was Eric's baby, yeah.
What did you think about just Luger? Did you think he'd have, because WWF didn't book him well, did you think he'd have, like, great, like, wow, I can't believe Luger's here. Did you think he'd have that impact?
I thought he'd need to be pumped back up again. You got Lex Express. He's in a bus all over the country with his name on it. You go to a battleship and he slams Yokozuna, and then he doesn't win the title. He was dead. He was dead.
Awful. Terrible. Yep, I agree.
Dead. He was dead. He didn't mean shit.
So then the main event of the evening, Hulk Hogan, the WWE World Champion, defeated Big Bubba Rogers to retain his WWE World Heavyweight Championship. The match went about 7 minutes. Got to have Hogan, right? And a name value, obviously, with Big Boss Man, a.k.a. Big Bubba Rogers. Got to have Hogan on the first show, right? Defending the title.
Wait a minute. You go to Ted Turner.
Mm-hmm.
He just signed Hulk with all this money. You're not going to have him on the main event? Are you saying to me you're thinking maybe you don't need him on the main event?
No, I'm saying he's got to be on the first show. Yeah, definitely.
Not just because he's Hulk Hogan. The guy just opened up the largest payday for anybody. And to even think that you're not going to, or even have that thought run through your mind, you got to go beat yourself in the head with a wooden mallet for a while.
Oh, Hulk, he's got to be. Yeah, he's got to be the man. He's the man, yeah.
That's why they paid for him.
Then, after he beats Big Bubba Rogers, a pretty good match there. Not as good as Sting Flair or Pillman Liger, of course, but, you know, it is what it is. And Luger actually reappears, comes out, kind of chases away some guys, and Luger and Hogan have a little confrontation, and they have a little promo battle back and forth. So not only is Luger back, and he showed up during the Sting match, and you see him in the crowd, he actually comes into the ring, and he says that he's in WCW where the big boys play. He wants the title, and he wants the biggest boy of them all. He wants Hulk Hogan. So not only you literally have managed to reinfuse Lex Luger like that, in a heartbeat, Luger's back and he's in the main event. You know what I mean? I mean, it just felt like, holy shit, Luger's back.
Well, you could do that if you have a Hulk Hogan.
Was that your idea to put him in the main event, or was that Bischoff?
I think Hogan, me, and Eric sat down, I think. And I think that was mostly Hogan's idea. Because here's a guy that's coming over from WWF. And who were going to get every last bit of juice out of them from him that night. Yeah, I think so.
It was great because it was like, all right, what the hell's going on with Luger? Is he a babyface? Is he a heel? But he obviously seems like he wants to cut the line. He wants the title shot. Sting is out there kind of trying to separate Hulk and Luger. But Luger gets in his face and cuts the promo, and Hogan is ready to oblige, and Hogan accepts his challenge. But it was just so cool that it was like, holy shit, you just got another main event there, you know, lickety-split just like that. And he just came over from WWF cold, basically. You know what I mean? He wasn't hot.
Right, right. And doing that live, you could do that.
Pretty, to me, pretty amazing as far as the first Nitro. I loved it. I thought it was great, and it, to me, was way better than Raw. What did you think? Thumbs up on it?
Oh, yeah. Without question. I mean, the first match won the night.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not going to hurt having Sting and Flair out there. And then obviously Hogan is the biggest driver in the history of the business. Doesn't hurt having him in your pocket and then having a surprise guy like Luger, who was, you know, WWE royalty before WWF kind of didn't know how to book him. Him coming back, reassert himself. He's back in the main event. He's Luger again. And he's hot this time. You know, he, after being cold a week ago or 2 days ago, he's hot again because he's confronting Hogan and, you know, bad mouthing him and putting his finger in his face.
Right. Right.
So you definitely give two thumbs up to the first Nitro.
More than two thumbs up. Two big piggies up, too.
All right, let's hit the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. You can follow Kevin on Instagram at Taskmaster Talks. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Kevin, what else you got going on? Anything good?
I'm going to be in St. Louis tomorrow for Herb Simmons. Come and see me and talk to me about that you love John Rye's show. Thank you.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll see you right back here next week for a little Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPT Empire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. Three, two, one. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. So join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code Sullivan20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in the Shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxers as free gifts to give to you to keep all your goodies stored nice and comfortably to go along with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside that Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2023 looks to be. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Sullivan20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that promo code Sullivan20. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped. please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code Taskmaster to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code Taskmaster to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer.
And that don't mean you're digging around in the dirt with farm implements, baby. This means this is a championship place to showcase championship athletes.
Whoa. Well, Mr. McMichaels has made it. Welcome to WCW.
Well, it was nice to meet
it's
you,
a pleasure to have you.
Don't underestimate Mongo, Mr. Heenan.
I know you've been looking forward to this opportunity. I mean, you got some words for this.
I was a big fan of yours when you played for Denver. I enjoyed all your games. You were great with the Cup.
We might have played them on Monday night. I don't know.
No, wait a minute. What about all the stuff you were saying last night? Come on, now's your opportunity.
I didn't say a thing about you. I was kidding. I said something about basketball and football. I give you my word.
We got a lot of great action coming your way. The WCW World Heavyweight Champion Hulk Hogan is going to be here in the main event. And we're going to kick things off with the man from Tokyo, Jushin Thunder Liger.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following contest, live from the Mall of America, is set for one fall. Introducing first, from Tokyo, representing New Japan Pro Wrestling, one of Japan's most popular wrestlers, Jushin
Right. So much going on here in World Championship Wrestling, WCW, where the big boys play.
And ladies and gentlemen, his opponent from Hollywood, California, weighing 236 pounds.
I hope he didn't bring his ginsu knife with him. That's illegal in this thing, isn't it? Absolutely illegal indeed. And he's got one tough opponent in Flying Brian. Flying Brian, an aerial artist. This should be a classic matchup. These two men have met before in some of the most exciting competition ever witnessed. Jushin Thunder Liger, high-flying aerial attack himself. But let's keep in mind, Bob the Brain Heenan, this man has come off a severe injury. He's only been back in action for about 4 weeks, coming off a broken leg. He was out for almost a year, Bobby. Well, those high-flying moves he does, he'll break a leg doing that, or a back. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes off one of the escalators here. If he goes up the down escalator, the man's a tremendous athlete. And if you want to stay on the mat and wrestle him, that's fine. If you want to stand toe-to-toe with this man, that's fine. You want to go upstairs? Look at this.
Did you see that cartwheel kick right to the earlobe? He hit him right below the ear, Steve.
That's what I've been talking about. These magnificent athletes with these magnificent moves is why people should be watching the WCW, baby.
It doesn't get any better than this. And let me tell you, we've got a lot of action coming your way. Some great surprises and a whole lot of fun. WCW, where the big boys play. Look at that move. One, two.
Oh,
My goodness. He can fly. Jushin Thunder Liger. He looks like he is at the top of his game.
Even Bobby the Stain over there has to be impressed with those kind of moves.
Knife pad attacks to the top of the chest. Irish rip and then a reversal by Jushin Liger.
Oh, man. I hope he don't make him swallow that mask. It might stick in his throat on the way down.
Well, he didn't get him good on that move. Not as good as he would have liked to.
Covered by Brian Pillman. One, two, the referee in position. And what a way to kick off the hottest hour of wrestling action anywhere.
Every Monday it'll be like this.
Every Monday coming your way live.
Is the Bronco going to be with us every Monday?
I'm sorry? You want to repeat that?
Steve McMichael.
Yes, one, two. Pillman, that was close.
Oh, I was a Chicago Bear over there, Bobby Hernia.
Oh, we're going to start this now. Name calling. We're going to resort to that now.
Okay. Ryan Pillman with an Irish whip. Then it was reversed by Jushin Liger. Jushin Liger drops down. Nice drop to hold takedown. Liger now. And this is something that you would have expected to see out of Pillman. Jushin Thunder Liger going for the reverse surfboard. This is a submission hold. Liger does it better than anybody else in the world. He has got his man right where he wants him. This could be a devastating
get out of that move.
Give up. That's the best way.
Referee's in position, checking for the submission. And now, Jushin Liger working over Brian Pillman. So much pressure on the back, the lower back. And now he's got the reverse face lock on. Compounding the pressure and the pain.
Bobby, you've got to admit you've never seen better surfing at the beach back when you didn't have that 40 pounds of extra weight around your belt.
I don't surf. I have someone do it for me.
Oh, good one, Bobby. Irish whip. Now Liger on the offense. Another head scissors takeover, and I think that Pillman's having a hard time with that head scissors takeover tonight.
Oh, did he hit?
That's a maneuver. Pillman's in trouble. Pillman down on the mat. And the ring. Oh, and another kick right to the head.
You notice he's still favoring that leg, though. He's not as crisp with those moves as he usually is.
Yeah, I noticed that when he fell 10 feet to the concrete.
Yeah, hard to tell a guy that just... probably about 30 miles an hour, hit the concrete, that he wasn't very crisp. I don't think I'm going to tell him
that. Well, I'll tell him that. There's no trouble with that.
Jushin Thunder Liger, one of the many great Japanese athletes that are going to be making their way here to WCW. So much new, exciting competition coming to WCW. Make no mistake about it. This is where the best live. And each and every week, you're going to have the chance to see it. Oh! Here on TNT, and Brian Pillman launches an aerial attack of his own.
That's it, kid. Give it to him. Give it to him the way he wants it. You're used to sitting on the bench cheering, aren't you? I mean, you like it, don't you? I'm not knocking you, but you know what I mean.
As long as the offense is on the field, I've got no problems with it. Bobby the Stain.
Oh!
Nice cover by Liger. Liger using his head. Now both men up. Both men looking for a tactical advantage here. But it is indeed Jushin Liger off the top rope. And Pillman's in trouble. Pillman is in serious trouble.
He's not getting out of this.
Wow.
You don't get any closer.
Wow. That was about a 2.95.
How many athletes is Bobby going to underestimate tonight, fans? We'll see.
Well, I don't underestimate people. I'm a broadcast journalist. I just call the action.
Oh! And again, we see this out of Pillman. He hooks a leg.
He's got
blue.
Him.
Kick out. We've seen that out of Pillman before, and I'll tell you what, it's very unique. A drop kick, a jump drop kick like that is generally an offensive maneuver. Brian Pillman executing it as a defensive move, very high risk, but equally effective.
He drop kicked him with his legs shooting up as the man was coming down. Very hard to do.
Hard to do. Timing is critical in that move. And we've got the powerbomb. And Jushin Liger has Pillman. One,
he got
two.
Him. No.
Are some superb athletes, I'm telling you.
And you're going to see a lot more of it later on. You're going to see the Nature Boy Ric Flair and Sting. And as we announce, the WCW World Heavyweight Champion Hulk Hogan will face Big Bubba in the main event. Oh, gosh! Oh, my gosh!
He's out. He can't kick out of that.
He did!
And that's without pads or a helmet, McMichaels.
You would know a lot about that, wouldn't you, Bobby?
I never cared to play football. I'd rather own the team.
I'll tell you what. This is incredible action. Liger hit the deck so hard himself, I thought he was going to knock himself out, but it was Pillman who took the brunt of the force. And now Brian Pillman trying to fight his way off that top turnbuckle. He looks for some offense. Tremendous, tremendous move by Brian Pillman. What a match. Hooks the leg. One, two.
He just DDT'd that man off the second rope, and the man kicked out.
Both of these athletes so equally matched. Their styles complementary.
I think that man's got some pads in that mask.
Standing switch.
He got him.
He's got him. He did it.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is your winner.
A tremendous victory. We're flying, Brian. A tremendous, tremendous matchup between two skilled athletes. And here you see Brian Pillman.
There you go.